Welcome back to another Inside the U podcast. This is Christopher Stock. I'm here with David Lake. Today we're going to talk to you guys about a number of recruiting updates with Miami guys, Miami targets from the Mark Richt camps. Also, David, I know you were at the IMG National Championships in Bradenton. We'll just kick off with that. We're also going to talk about the team, some updates, some summer session guys that have been enrolled already, some guys still waiting on, and obviously situations, some status with players currently on the team. David, I just want to talk about Bradenton a little bit, unique experience for you, and kind of get to see some players that we don't always get to see. What was your takeaway from the event?
Yeah, so really the main guy who I wanted to go watch was DJ Dallas, who's committed to Miami since about May, and he's from South Georgia, so don't really get to see him all that much, but him and his team, he was part of the Cam Newton All-Stars. And him and his team competed at the IMG National 7-on-7 tournament. And so I got to really see him close up and kind of watch how he competes. So he's committed to Miami as a wide receiver. But for his 7-on team, he mainly played cornerback exclusively. And really, I'd say he was their top corner on the team. They definitely lined him up against the best receiver on the opposing team. It was good to see DJ. I will say probably the things that stand out about DJ as a player is just the competitiveness that he brings to the table. He likes to talk a lot of trash, and he just finds a way to make plays. He finds a way to intercept passes, jump routes. He makes game-changing plays as a cornerback. He also has kind of a leadership mentality. You could tell a bunch of his teammates definitely feed off his energy that he brings to these games. And so, yeah, I was impressed with what he could bring as a cornerback. I talked to him about, you know, after he was done playing, I talked to him about if he's willing to play cornerback at Miami, and he seemed very open to it. He said he talks a lot to cornerbacks coach Mike Rumpf, and he joked that Mike Rumpf recruits him as a cornerback. So he's open to playing corner if Miami would like him to play there. To be honest, I kind of like him more as a cornerback just because of that energy he can bring on defense. I feel like you need that type of competitive spirit on a defense. It's well known now that DJ is one of the top recruiters for this class. He's not shy to hit guys up on Twitter and try and convince them to come to Miami with him. And I asked him, like, you know, who's the biggest guy you're on right now? And he mentioned Trajan Bandy. And he said, you know, him and Trajan and a bunch of other Miami commits are in a group text together. And they're always texting each other, and he feels good about Miami's chances with landing Trajan. So, and honestly, I feel like those two would be a lot of fun to watch in a defensive backfield, just because they would just feed off each other with the competitiveness that they play with.
David,
go ahead.
You just talked about the competitiveness. I mean, hearing you talk about it, that to me, that's what stands out. That we talk so much about Miami kind of, you know, getting back and getting things going again.
Yeah.
So much of that, you need to see that. You need that back on, especially on defense, if that's where he's going to play. Just in general, it just needs to be infused with the team. And there's a few guys on the team that are young that have already, you already see that with them. So, you know, just getting that culture back seems to be so important.
Yeah, and that's kind of, in my mind, that's always the thing that's held Miami back is, you know, what they're doing on defense the last few years. And you know, for Miami to get back to truly be a national power, they need to get that defense back, and they need it to be, you know, the hard-hitting, play-fast Miami defense that we're used to. And, you know, I think bringing a guy like DJ Dallas into that mix on defense would be a big help. And, yeah, I mean, right now he still is expected to be a receiver, but I just like him that cornerback, I guess.
Also, David, you know, I think when you bring up the name DJ Dallas, because he is from Georgia, I think people want to know, oh, is he going to stick? you know, not just with Georgia there, but that's SEC country and the whole thing and whatnot. It just seems like he strikes him as a guy, because you mentioned how much he recruits. He seems like a guy that's all in. Is that safe to assume, all in with UM? And
oh yeah,
do you see him wavering at all?
He's all in right now. I mean, you can
Right.
never tell with recruiting 6 months from now, but I would even then, 6 months from now, I'd be shocked if he signs anywhere else. He's pretty locked in. He's all about Miami. He's all about Coach Richt. He's going to be coming back. He visited Miami in the spring. He's going to be coming back down in mid-July for their little paradise camp that they're going to have for commits and big-time targets at Miami. So he's excited about that. And, I fully expect him to stick. And I expect him to help bring in some of these top recruits that have yet to commit to Miami.
Was there anyone else, David, there in Bradenton that kind of stood out to you? I mean, it sounds like DJ had a good weekend or a good day, I guess. And were there other guys that kind of jumped out to you?
Yeah, well, it was a little disappointing, to be honest, because Nikosi Perry's team was supposed to be there. They didn't end up coming, so I didn't get to see him there. But, yeah, I mean, there's a Texas team that had a safety target, Grant Delpit. He's probably more of an LSU guy. He's kind of leaning heavily towards them, but Miami's somewhat in the mix. He visited Miami in the spring. He's going to be attending IMG Academy this upcoming school year, so he'll be in Florida. And yeah, I mean, he had good things to say about Miami, but really he's probably an LSU lean. I mean, really, it was a tough tournament from a Miami standpoint, because a lot of the South Florida 7-on-7 all-star teams didn't participate. So that kind of cuts out a lot of guys in my mind. There was one South Florida team, Hard Knocks, who had guys like James Cook, the 2018 running back commit to Florida State, who's the brother of Dalvin, who still he told me that Miami's still on him hard. He even said, I asked him, you know, what's Miami's main message to you when you talk to them? And he said that, you know, we're not going to let another Cook leave Miami. So Miami's going to still recruit him hard. He's reclassified from 2019 to 2018. So that kind of moves that timeline up for Miami. But yeah, he listed Miami. I think he listed USC as the main schools that he's looking at besides Florida State.
Yeah, and I think just kind of talking about Nikosi Perry, David, when we went to the Mark Richt 7-on-7 camps.
Yeah.
It was first off, it was great. I think most people that listen to the podcast are also on the website. We had plenty of updates. So it was about 10 teams a day,
right.
high school teams that came down, and I think they all got 4 or 5 games in. And it was good for us, David. I mean, we were able to bounce around to different fields. I felt like we really took advantage of, you know, just having the ability to watch them. This, which has not been the case at UM in the past under previous coaches. So we were able to do that, and Nikosi Perry was the guy. I mean, if you start talking about guys that we got to see, Nikosi was the one that we spent a lot of time with. You know, I was able to put together video highlights of him. You can check the YouTube and find him there. But, David, your impressions of Nikosi, I guess with me, just kind of things I got to see and talk to him, was just he's that guy. You know, he's what you expect in terms of, it all became real easy for him, and you know the competition wasn't great. We can just say that, but
sure.
You know he made all the throws, and if you watch the video, that was pretty much all the throws he made. But he, you know, he would throw it hard when he needed to. He'd throw it deep when he wanted to, underneath routes, you know, scrolling left to right. You know, he just kind of had it, and certainly he's going to get bigger. The biggest thing. Bigger, and he's just going. I think he's assuming we've got a good impression of him. It seems like he's a guy that wants to learn, will get in the playbook, and all those other things. And I remember asking Coach Richt before Nikosi came down just what he looks for in a quarterback with recruiting. And I also put together an article on that so you guys can see that. But I think what was interesting, he just because Mark's been known for being so good with quarterbacks, and the big thing that he said was just, there's just so much more to it. He didn't talk so much about – well, he talked about the accuracy, but he just talked so much about the intangibles and drive and work ethic and all those other things that make quarterbacks good. And,
sure.
You know, and that's something that's so important at the next level. And the big thing that he said, David, that stood out to me is when recruiting high school quarterbacks, he said, you know, they're essentially going to be the face of the program. And I think that is almost, you know – it could be alarming for, just to hear that. You're just trying to go to school when you're in high school and be impressive. But, they're looking at guys that can this guy be the face of the program, because it's essentially what it is.
Sure.
And there's so much that goes into it at the quarterback position. I thought that was interesting. And Nikosi strikes me as a guy that would be comfortable in that setting with those
Yeah.
intangibles.
The biggest thing, just to simplify it with Nikosi, the biggest thing that stands out to me is he has a chance to be a future starter. So you want to always try and bring in quarterbacks that you feel like when it's their time, do they have the tools? Do they have the makeup to be a future starter? And I think that's definitely the case with Nikosi. I think Miami got a guy like that too in Jack Allison last year. So, whenever Brad Kaya's time at Miami is finished, it'll be a battle probably most likely between Nikosi Perry and Jack Allison. And yeah, I mean, I feel good about Nikosi Perry's chances in that battle. So I think Miami got themselves a good quarterback. I think he's the best quarterback in the state this year. And yeah, he's a player who, if he continues to work, he has a lot of upside. He still needs work, but he has a lot of upside. And if he's willing to put in that work, he can be as good as he wants to be.
Yeah, so it was definitely good to see him, and we kind of just stayed with him like essentially the whole day and watched him and that kind of thing. David, other guys at the camp, again, we were there for all five of the seven
Yeah.
on sevens, the individual camp, just any other impressions of guys that stood
Well,
out to you?
so the position I would highlight, I guess,
It's got to be cornerback,
from
right?
those camps, yeah, cornerback. So, just being out there, we saw guys like Marco Wilson, Christopher Henderson, Sean Davis, Josh Jobe, Pat Surtain Jr., Tyson Campbell. So, I mean, these are all really high-level guys. And quite frankly, that a lot of them are going to be future pros. I guess which one of those guys would you say kind of stood out to you, Chris? Because you definitely saw all of them. Who did you like?
Yeah, and David, you can just keep going on the names. I mean, guys like Rashard Dames out of Booker T that had a good day. Now he doesn't have a lot of offers, and Miami it hasn't offered or anything like that, but that guy had a good day. And
Yeah.
the other day, I saw Antoine Collier. He's looking for a UM offer, and he's another guy that while he's a step down, and I kind of posted this on the boards, he's certainly a better prospect. Miami hasn't offered him, but he's certainly a better prospect than even guys that have came to UM in recent years. So while he's not the level of those guys, he's still a very good player, and it's going to be interesting
Sure.
to watch him develop. But of those guys, David, it just seems like when we talked about it with Josh Jobe, just he was such an impressive physical guy that he's a 2018 guy and
Yeah.
for now and over there at Columbus, and so long and just really shut it down. And I thought he was a guy that was very impressive, just shutting down his man and things like that. But on the flip side, Sean Davis, I was very impressed with him at Southridge, and very rangy, knocking down passes, intercepting passes. It looked so easy to him, and he just moved really well. And I've liked Sean before, I just think he had a good showing at the Marquette camp as well.
With Sean, it seems like he's definitely headed to Florida. Miami pushed for him early in the spring, but he seems pretty set on Florida. I guess one guy too we should high well I should say two. I guess, cornerback moving forward the next two recruiting classes is a huge need for Miami. And with all this local talent that they have this class and the next class in 2018, it shouldn't be hard for Miami to significantly upgrade the depth and talent at cornerback.
Yeah, I think you're definitely right. And when you talk about numbers, David, are we talking three or four corners a year? Is that too many, or is that
I
right where
think
you think
so.
that it
Yeah,
is?
I think this year three or four, and then I think next year three. So, I mean, it's a huge position of need. They already have, I think, whether or not you feel like Gilbert Frierson is a corner. If you feel like he's a corner, they have three committed for 2018 now because they just took DJ Ivy from South Dade, and they already have Josh Jobe in the boat. So that kind of leaves you with one or two, maybe. I mean, it just depends who you can get, but Al Blades Jr. likely going to commit to Miami. He's 2018. And then Patrick Surtain, you just got to recruit him because he's a five-star guy who's going to start from day one. So, and then, Tyson Campbell, they're also extremely high on. So, yeah, I mean, it shouldn't be hard to flip that position in terms of talent, upgrade it significantly from where it is now.
David, I wanted to ask, I mean, we haven't talked about this much, but we talk so much about corner, but there's a need at safety at Miami as well.
Sure.
You mentioned Frierson a little bit, but are all these guys, I mean, I've got my own opinion, but just your own opinion on, are all these guys natural corners, or do you think any of them can play that safety role? Because Miami's going to have to get safeties in. Jaquan Johnson's a sophomore this year, and then, you know, they've got two seniors in Rashawn Jenkins and Jamal Carter, so they're going to need safety help and try to get elite safeties there too. But your thoughts on any of these corners? Because, again, it's heavy, a lot of talent, and a lot of schools are going to want these guys too. It's not just good for Florida. It's good for nationwide with these recruits.
Well, in terms of local 2017 guys, like, I feel like Marco Wilson's a corner. Chris Henderson definitely has to be a corner. Sean Davis, I feel like he could play safety. He's willing to be physical, but I feel like he's most likely a corner. Latavius Breeny, I feel like, is a safety. He wants to play corner. I'm just not sure he has the hips to play corner. And then looking forward to 2018 real quick, I would say Josh Jobe's a corner. He could play safety, but he's just a freak at 6'1" at corner. He can play it, so you put him there. Patrick Surtain is a corner. I would say Tyson Campbell could be a safety, and that's what we saw him play out there at the 7-on. And then Al Blades Jr., I think, is a corner as well.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. Another guy, David, that we didn't get to see at the camp that I wanted to bring up, just your thoughts on him. And, again, we're veering off, but Brian Edwards,
yeah, you
know, formerly Miramar at Aquinas now. Size, he's a guy that I think that's going to end up at UM. I think
sure.
I even used a crystal ball and put him there. But just your thoughts on him. Again, we didn't get to see him play, but your thoughts on him, because he's a guy
yeah.
that's talked about a lot with his class.
Yeah, well, I've seen him in the past. And, I mean, honestly, Miami is trying to figure out if he's a corner. And I think they feel like he could play corner. I think they'll try him out at corner at first if he does come to Miami. But honestly, I feel like he's just a safety. He's a 6'3 athletic safety. He's not the biggest hitter, but when he does line guys up, he does pop them pretty good. But yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I feel like if Miami continues to show him strong attention, heavy attention, they'll end up with Brian Edwards in this class. And I like his potential. I think that's a good take.
David, other guys at the 7-on-7 even the linemen, or do you want to talk more about the corners and stuff?
Well, one guy I want to ask you about is Mark Pope, who
okay.
has reclassified from 2019 to now he's 2018 recruit, and he's, you know, highly thought of. You got to see him out there. What are your thoughts on Mark?
Well, I mean, he reclassified, but he looks like 2017 out there just because of his ability, David. He's very impressive, and he's a guy that, as a receiver, does a lot of things well, you know, where he can go deep, he can beat you deep, he can beat you over the middle. He runs good routes. He's got good speed. Hands seem to be good for a prospect of where he's at. He's definitely intriguing. You definitely understand why SEC schools are after him, why big-time schools are after him and whatnot. Alabama's in the lead right now for him. You know, I think he had Alabama gloves on at the camp. And one of the, after he was over, I didn't make mention of this, but just for the podcast, I guess. But there was an opponent that saw Mark walk off, and the opponent, another player, just yelled at Mark. He said, "Roll Tide," and Mark just kind of waved his hand, like circled his hand, you know, kind of, you know, doing a motion there. So I think it's kind of well known that they lead. But player-wise, David, again, he's very impressive. He's got a good makeup to him, and there's a lot of impressive players over at Southridge, and he just seems to be emerging from that receiver group, and it'll be interesting to see how he performs this season, how they perform. They've got five pass catchers that are going to be high BCS offer guys, or maybe not high, but just one of those Power Five conference. And so definitely the numbers, you know, maybe he's not going to put up huge numbers, but definitely huge in terms of talent.
With Mark Pope and Alabama, I guess, you know, Alabama the last few years has come down, gotten Amari Cooper, gotten Calvin Ridley. Would you put Mark Pope in that class?
Well, not yet, David. Both of those guys, and I know if we go back to the Amari thing, remember we saw him early on and we were impressed, and then he had the season where it just didn't quite work out, injuries, whatnot. But we were very impressed with him. Again, Ridley, it was easy to be impressed with him. He was just so smooth and fluid. And what was interesting, David, Mark, I had asked, you know, obviously Alabama is doing well and their program is, you know, extremely successful. And I asked what has stood out. And he mentioned those two names. He wants to be the third. He looks up to those guys. He wants to be a guy that's in that classification in terms of South Florida. So he's very intrigued. And that's the thing when you talk about schools that come down and pluck guys out of South Florida, if they do well, it's not just getting one guy. It sets a tone for that program down in this area. So that's why you can't let those guys leave. And Al Gore, we've talked about it before, but just did a poor job in handling Amari's situation. But Mark's not quite that level because those guys were as good as they got at receiver, but he's still very good. And I wouldn't put him, if you put him a notch below, it's not many notches. You know, he's right there. And I would just say he's just got more to prove because, you know, he is young. He didn't have the season. You know, his numbers were fine last year. They were good for a freshman. But, you know, he's got – it just depends what level or what he does production-wise when the season comes as far as earning the reputation of being those guys because those guys put up monster numbers down here.
And with Mark, he was at the IMG tournament this past weekend too, and I just talked with him a little bit. And he said, yeah, he has Alabama 1. He's got Miami 2. So he – definitely is looking at Miami with this new regime that's in charge there. I guess just transitioning now to kind of the team news that's happened recently, Chris. I guess, you know, recently the Summer B guys from the 2016 class have enrolled at Miami. Everyone got in except there's two still waiting, Gulliver Preps, Deontay Mullins, wide receiver, and defensive back from Gulliver Prep as well, Cedric Wright. Deontay Mullins, it was kind of expected. He's been a guy who's working hard to get that test score, I guess, that he needs to be enrolled at Miami. And Cedric Wright was a little bit of a surprise, but I guess the holdup there is he transferred from Homestead to Gulliver, and they're just – the NCAA is kind of looking at those credits, I guess, trying to figure out what's going on there. But Cedric, you know, he's a smart guy. I feel like that's gonna smooth over soon for fall camp. He should be good to go. Deontay, probably just going to come down to the wire, Chris.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, David, I think everyone that's followed recruiting has known that Deontay's situation was always up in the air because he was ineligible as a senior. And And just real quick, you mentioned Cedric. When you said Homestead, it just reminded me. I mean, they don't have a team anymore, David. They got rid of their team, which is surprising considering how many guys that they've come out of that program. But anyways, yeah. So we'll see about Deontay again. Just a waiting process. On the flip side, you've got Sam Bruce at receiver and Ahmad Richards, who we're extremely high on to make a huge impact this year. So it's not like Deontay will be automatically, you know, just completely counted on that. It's a big need. So in that sense, as far as the team-wise goes and how it impacts the program or the team itself, you know, they've got other guys that they do have filling in. And obviously there's other receivers they have. So
yeah, I mean, both of those guys would, in my estimation, I think they would be redshirt guys. Maybe Deontay could get on the field, but I think he should just redshirt anyways.
Yeah, I agree with that. And you know, if they don't get in, David, assuming everything was done on Miami's side that's possible, I assume that they're depending on how far away, but I think they end up at UM down the road, again assuming that UM still wants them and handles things properly.
Maybe prep school at the worst and then they're here.
Well, at the worst it'd be JUCO, but
prep
if they have to do prep, whatever it takes. I still think that they're still UM is in the future for both of them, assuming, like I said, assuming UM still wants them, assuming they handle the situation properly.
Then also, you know, some team news came out recently, too, with Juwan Young being investigated by Miami's compliance, linebacker Juwan Young, for luxury cars, kind of having a shady deal with a car dealership, I guess. Juwan Young and, I guess, defensive end Al-Qadim Muhammad are both kind of being looked at by Miami's compliance. And it's kind of expected right now for Juwan Young to be suspended for the season, at least. Maybe his time at Miami is just finished. And Al-Qadim Muhammad, according to reports, they feel like he still has a good chance of being eligible this season to play. So, Chris, I guess what is your take from, you know, potentially missing Juwan Young this year and potentially, you know, if things do get bad for Al-Qaeda Muhammad and he's not able to play, what would that mean for the defense?
Well, just starting with Juwan Young, David, I think we saw in the spring writing on the wall with where the coaches feel Juwan Young fits in with their defense.
Right.
And the fact that they promoted Shaquille Quarterman to the starting middle linebacker spot. And they're very high on Shaquille, and I think that moves Juwan Young out of the equation, even though he was a guy that earned playing time there the year before. We didn't hear a lot of, I wouldn't say we didn't hear negative things, but we didn't hear a lot of positive things about Juwan throughout the spring.
Right.
So as far as how it impacts, I think it affects depth, but I don't think he was a guy that was going to earn the starting role this fall, yeah. Even though he had experience. They like what they have in Quarterman. David, we've been around Quarterman a little bit, and just you understand why the coaching staff would like him
right.
In terms of personality, in terms of work ethic, and what he does on the field. So upside for Quarterman moves Juwan kind of out of the equation or more to a reserve role or however you look at it anyway. So how it affects, it wouldn't affect their top unit because, again, I think Shaq's going to take the – I think he's going
yeah.
to –
Yeah, Shaq beat him out. Shaq beat him out.
And I don't see that changing, David. Sometimes you see stuff in the spring where guys do well and then they get shuffled back around in the fall. You know, Darren Owens wasn't in the mix in the spring. Where does he fit in the fall? But I think Shaq's a guy cemented in that position now, and
right.
I don't see it changing. I don't think that this staff doesn't strike me as a staff that's going to play these mental head games with guys the way we saw in the last staff, which was a joke in terms
right.
of – David, I mean, it was ridiculous. But anyways, so, yeah, so, you know, disappointed to hear that these guys are in those situations. And as far as Al-Qaeda and David, we talk about it all the time. I don't think there's anybody that would say, but we're expecting Muhammad to be their best defensive player.
Yeah, he should be. Yeah, there's no question.
And obviously with the first two opponents, or maybe first three, it's not a huge impact with him off the field, but you need him for the stretch run that they're getting ready to go on. You need him for the season. You need him to be an impact guy because there's quite a bit of drop-off between Muhammad. And personally, I think there's a drop-off between the second-best defensive end. And I think if you take the third-best, a guy that would have to fill in there, I think it would be a huge drop-off. And, you know, a guy with Muhammad, I mean, if it's not one thing, it's another. I mean, just all the incidents he's had at UM. And, you know, this is his junior year. David, I don't think anyone's expecting him to be back for a senior year. Or, you know, just because of everything that's happened. So it'll be interesting to see how everything plays out. And anytime you hear about NCAA stuff and UM, you definitely understand why they're going to be hesitant to deal with it and because of everything that's happened in the past.
Yeah, I mean, with Muhammad, you know, if he's unavailable this season, that's a tremendous hit for the defense because he is by far their best pass rusher. He's a guy who could challenge for 10 sacks in a season. He's a guy that would help cover up a secondary that is considered to be the weakness of the defense, the weakness of the team, frankly. So, yeah, having him, losing him for the season potentially is a big deal for Miami. So Miami's just got to hope for the best, hope that he's been straightforward throughout this process with, you know, whatever investigation Miami is running to look into this situation and, you know, hopefully he comes out of it.
Yeah, it certainly hasn't been a summer free from these kind of things. You know, the Mark Walton situation, still waiting on him, but, you know, it sounds like he's going to be, you know, it sounds like he's going to be on the team and they haven't announced exactly what's going to happen with him, but he's going through all the workouts and all that stuff. So he's involved with the team, just kind of switching gears with Mark. But yeah, just another incident for Mark Richt to handle and weave through and figure out.
Yeah, it's part of the job, unfortunately.
David, I think that's about it with this one, this podcast. Definitely,
yeah.
You know, I know these podcast people will make comments on the boards that there's just a bunch of names that they want to hear about. Maybe we'll get one of these podcasts where we just rattle through names, just kind of do an update and where we can make sure we hit on more guys. Because I know there's so many guys, oh, why didn't you talk about him? And it's usually not for any specific reason other than there's just we're not going to be sitting here for 4 hours. But we will definitely hit up these names. But we want to keep doing these podcasts on a periodic basis. And, you know, it's, you know, July now and, you know, about a month away and fall camp starts. So this thing gets going quick. I know for a lot of people, everybody's been waiting for fall and seeing how things get going. We're excited for next month, but definitely stay with us. We definitely appreciate everything. We're still going to have a strong month of July. We're excited about this next month.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm ready for some college football, so I'm already jonesing for it and ready to go. So it'll be a fun month.
Yeah, and football with pads on, David, right? I mean, these camps
Right.
get a little
Not
tedious at
panties.
times. Yeah, so yeah, it'll be interesting. So yeah, definitely thanks again for listening. And David, we'll talk to you later.
Okay, take care.
See you guys.